Kita berdoa. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for Palm Sunday, for this event that you have recorded for us of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Lord, as we listen to your word, we pray, O God, that you will give us an attentive heart, that we will hear your voice this morning. God, I pray for myself. I pray, O God, that you will anoint me. I pray, O God, that the meditation of my heart and the word of my mouth will be pleasing unto you. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. I think when I first heard of the word Palm Sunday, you know, when I was a young Christian, I didn't really understand what it was. Yeah, but perhaps if you come from the Catholic background, you will probably know a little bit more about that. Is that right, Emma? Okay. However, this event of Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey is covered in all the four Gospels. Okay, must be very important. So today, I'm going to read to you just one, right, to set us off for the message today, right? So please do follow me as I read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, starting from verse 1, okay? Please follow. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. Just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut off in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So, from the time Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, to the time he was resurrected, is also known as the Passion Week. So Palm Sunday actually marks the beginning of the Passion Week. And the word, the Passion, actually is found in Acts chapter 1:3 in the RSV version. It says, "To them he presented himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God." And this word passion in Acts chapter 1:3, in its original word in Greek, actually means suffering. So that passion word there in its original word means suffering. So when we talk about the passion of Christ, it is actually referring to the suffering of Jesus. So the Passion Week actually marks the beginning of what Jesus is going to experience, which is his suffering. And we know from the passage that Jesus rode on a donkey on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem. And we may have the question, why donkey? Why a king rides on a donkey? Isn't it more appropriate to ride on a horse or something? Are there any significance in Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem? And actually, this event that Jesus was going through was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah more than 500 years ago. And our prophet Isaiah said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." A king coming to you, riding on a donkey. Lowly, righteous, and victorious. It seems like righteous, victorious, and lowly don't really come together. But this is what happened on Palm Sunday. And then in Revelation chapter 19, you see that Jesus came back riding on a white horse. Yeah, if you read Revelation chapter 19, there was another event in future where Jesus coming back riding on a white horse. And it says, in justice, he judges and he wage war. And very clearly in Revelation, when Jesus came back riding on a horse, he was coming back with judgment. He was coming back to bring justice to the earth. But now, in this situation here, it is clearly not judgment. So what is the significance here about Jesus coming riding on a donkey? Anyone? Humility. Over in Revelation is judgment. But over here, what is the symbol that Jesus is bringing? With the donkey. Jesus is bringing peace. This is very important for us to understand. To me, this is really the key and the essence of why we are celebrating Palm Sunday. The significance of Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem is him bringing the peace of God to mankind. It means that God's wrath, God's anger against each of us because of our sin has been propitiated, has been appeased. God on this day comes to us in peace. How many of us know that God is not angry with us? There are many people living in suffering, thinking that God is angry with us. But in Jesus, the wrath of God is appeased. So what is the meaning of Palm Sunday? The Palm Sunday, the Passion Sunday, the Passion Week, is the suffering of Christ that brought us peace with God. The suffering of Christ that has brought us peace with God. This is the essence, This is the key message of Palm Sunday. And Jesus did not ride on his own donkey. Jesus had to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Many of us borrowed cars when we get married, right? We wanted to look good and we borrowed a Rolls Royce to ferry us. But over here, Jesus borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. It's actually unimaginable for me, for a king, for someone like Jesus who created everything, who has everything, and everything belongs to him, had to borrow hard to imagine. But Jesus displayed to us simple living. Jesus displayed to us total dependence on God. Total dependence on God. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege to meet with this person by the name of John D. Cruz. I think those Catholic people know him very well. I respect this brother so much. I'm going to sit in his teaching for 2 years, learning from him. And he's a retired teacher, but he's doing a lot of things for children, right? And he was the one who started station learning. And he's operating it in the Catholic school right at the Penang Road, St. Joseph. Yeah. And I was very impressed by this guy. And he actually was invited by the Pope to go to the Vatican and share about his success. Wow. And he said that he only takes children that has all the red in the 8 subjects. To qualify to study in his school is that you must have all red. Red means fail. If nobody wanted you, then he wants you. You are the right candidate to enroll into his study. Wow, what a great guy. And to cut the long story short, right? He will take these children through a process. In 6 months, he will be able to see the red turning into blue. And he has a very special method in teaching the children. But how did he get into this? He was a school teacher for many, many years. And then he was thinking that, why is the world so unfair that the teachers only focus on all the bright students? All the not so bright students all left behind. These are all Chai Boy, you know. Yeah. These are all leftovers, you know, cannot be used anymore. Don't focus on them. Waste your time. So as a servant of God, he said he cannot do this. So when he retired, what he did was he moved to Sungai Pinang to live with the poor people for 3 years, living in a 100 ringgit flat in Sungai Pinang. What a guy. Gave up his luxury and go and live with the poor to understand them. Then he began to understand why all these children are unmotivated. It's not that they are stupid. They are just unmotivated. There is no reason for them to study. Because they are so poor. Even if they get all A's, there's no guarantee that they can get a place in a university. Because the parents don't have money for their education. They don't even have enough money, pocket money, to go to school. Don't even have uniform. How are they going to succeed in study? So, John D. Cruz designed this special curriculum just for them. And when I visited his classroom, I look at that place. Seriously, if I look at this place here and that place, it's like, the difference is like heaven and hell. Everything there is old. The tables and even the blackboard is used until the chalk is peeled, you know. but this guy is so passionate, and he just taught me a thing about using God's resources, maximizing what God has given us. And he said this, he said, we measure life success by the impact we make on others and not by how much we have. That struck me. We measure life success by the impact we make on others and not by how much we possess. My brothers and sisters, this is Jesus. Jesus was so rich, yet he became poor, so that we all can become rich. He even chose to borrow a donkey to come into Jerusalem. You know, Chinese New Year is a big festival here. Tai Pusam is a big festival. But for the Jews, the Passover is a big festival where people, pilgrims, will come all over to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. So these people, they heard the news that Jesus was coming. He's coming. And, because Jesus did so many miracles, looks like, he's very popular, you know. So probably he is the king that is going to come and save us. So the people hero worship him. They wave palm branches. They lay palm branches on the floor. Just like today, people lay red carpet for VIP to walk in. It is honoring. People were honoring Jesus because they thought that he was going to come in and become their king. And there is this longing for a deliverer because they were under such an oppression by the Roman government. Tax them. His heart is longing for a deliverer. And here comes their hope. Jesus is looked upon as their hope that will come and overthrow the Roman Empire and be their king. But to their disappointment, Jesus didn't be their earthly king. Jesus didn't come and establish an earthly kingdom. Instead, he went to the cross and died. People, let me ask you, what if God is not what you expected him to be? What if God is not what you always expect him to be? You know, there is this guy, this prophet in the Old Testament. His name is called Habakkuk. What a name, Habakkuk. Habakkuk. When I read his book, I was thinking like, see, he was living in Malaysia. He was living in a difficult time. He was also longing for a deliverer. He was suffering. He said that his heart was pounding. Boom, boom, boom. His lips quivered. Not here. Don't read that. Listen. His lips quivered. Sign of anxiety. He felt decay in his bones. His legs trembled. I cannot imagine what kind of difficulties he was in. It's serious until you have that symptom, you know. He was suffering. And then he prayed and he said, God, I call for calamity to come upon the enemy, that you will deliver us. But then he continued by saying, God, but then I will wait patiently. I will wait patiently. And then he went on and said, God, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, there were no money in the bank, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Even though Jesus did not come to be the physical king of Israel and to deliver them from the clutches of the Roman Empire, will the people say, that's okay, God. Not my will be done, but yours. Can we say that? When our prayers are not being answered, when our dreams and our hopes are dashed, we thought that God will do this because I do this. Because I do this, God, you have to do this. Expectation. God doesn't always work this way, my friends. Will we allow God to be God and allow Him to dictate His plans and His agenda according to what He wants it to be? Finally, this passage in Mark about Jesus entering into Jerusalem is also sometimes been called the triumphant entry. Whereas I reflected on this passage, it came across to me that this was like a death march for Jesus. He was like marching towards his death. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if you know that you're going to die in 6 days? Never thought about that. We don't know when we're going to die. But we know that as we approach old age, our time of returning home to be with God is nearer. And then there is no guarantee that if you are 10 years old, you will not die. Because we don't know. We can't predict. But over here, Jesus knew that he was going to face death. in 6 days. What did Jesus do? He said, bring the donkey. Let me fulfill what the scripture says. Me riding on a donkey to fulfill what God wants. His will, not my will. Jesus faced death courageously and willingly. In Isaiah 53, it says that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. Jesus faced death courageously and willingly. You know, my friends, dying is really hard if we are not ready for it. But please don't mistake. I'm not saying that death was easy for Jesus. He agonized with that. But Jesus was prepared. He was prepared to die. In fact, he was made for this destiny. He was destined to face the cross. But he was able to face it with courage. Why? Because Jesus knew the impact he was going to make. It's about impact. Because he knew that he is going to deliver this killer blow to the works of the enemy and finish it off once and for all. And with that, he could look forward to that with enthusiasm, that it is going to be over, that this killer blow is going to be delivered on the enemy. And he is going to finish his work and leave behind a lasting legacy. My brothers and sisters, will you be ready if God wants to take you home? In 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, I don't know. But will you be ready? I'm not talking about making it to heaven. And I hope that this issue is close. We all know what it means by that. I'm talking about leaving behind a legacy. I'm talking about making an impact while you are on earth. I'm talking about receiving your reward from the Master when you are over at the other side. Several months ago, I was reading the parable of the talent. It's a very familiar parable. Reading it with a preconceived mind that I already knew this. And then I suddenly heard a voice speaking to me from inside. Son, do you know what this really means? Parable of the talent is talking about impact. That struck me very hard. My brothers and sisters, I work very hard because I don't want to waste my life. I want to give whatever that God has given me. I may not have a lot of money, but I can give my time, my talent, so that others can become rich. I envision thousands of Nepali families who are living in darkness, literal darkness, living with no clean water, no roads, no Bible, no knowledge of God, no monthly income. I envision them sending their children to school, having education, the community being developed. They have a house, they have lights, they have water, they have Jesus. I envision that before I die. I tell God, this is what I'm working for. My brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to think about impact. What are you going to do with your life? What you do with your life is your offering to God. Salvation is free. God has done that work and given you life. But what you do with the life that Jesus gave to you is your offering to God. Let us pray. As we enter the Passion Week, we remember that the essence of the message is God bringing peace to us. That the wrath of God has been propitiated. And that God is not angry with us. And He will not hold any one of us guilty of our sins if we are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we should examine the way we live, how we live. We may need to redefine what is success in life. Is success about giving and making an impact on others? You may be in a situation where you have unmet expectations. Perhaps you are disappointed with God. You are angry with Him. But I challenge you to say, like what Habakkuk said, that I will be patient. I will submit to the will of God. And I will accept whatever outcome it may be. It's not my will, but God's will be done. And Jesus was prepared for death. And His death on the cross was a gain for you and me. And Jesus made a truly lasting impact on mankind. He built a great legacy. You know, we prepare many things for many things in life. Have we thought about death? Are we prepared to face death? What kind of impact and legacy we want to leave behind when we leave this earth? Father, I pray that your word today will speak to us deeply, that it will take root in our heart, that it will bear fruit in action. Thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you that your suffering has brought us peace with God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to you.